welcome to the New Beginnings Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com. All right, guys, well, we are excited about today, Vision Sunday, and what that means for us is that we get to dive into the story of where we came from, but we also get to share the vision that God's given us, and this is a vision that really goes back a ways for us. It's something that he's laid in our hearts really for a long, long time, but we're getting to see the seeds of it planted, and we're getting to see the sprouts come up, and we're getting to see it start to develop, so we're really excited to share. But we wanted to start with just a little bit of history. And some of you guys know some of this history, some of you may not. So I think there's something new in here for everybody. But starting with the building that we're in, the church here, this started out as a church plant from First Christian Church. Was anybody, I think Karen and Scott may be the only ones that were here back when this was planted. Is that right? Were you here back then?
Yes.
In 1969. So that's 54 years this month that they were planted. It was actually in February, 54 years ago, and it was Garden of Gethsemane Christian Church. And I looked at the Articles of Incorporation and all that, and it's fun to see. And what I love about the story is that this church was planted out of a desire to see more of the Holy Spirit's movement, to connect with the move of God here, now, and today, not just to talk about what he's done in the past, but to engage with what he's doing in the present. And that hunger has kept this place going and has led to some incredible ministries. We've seen them. They've created food pantries, Crossfire Ministries. Has anybody heard of them?
Yes.
They were born out of people that attended here and out of this move. Mm-hmm. They did a kind of a kids bus ministry, and that brought in a lot of our dear friends and leaders who have been connected through that. And there's just been a lot of amazing stories that happens going back, like I said, 54 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and first of all, can we bring David's mic down just a little bit, and maybe mine as well, too, because it's about echo back. But one of the beautiful things I love about the history of our church body is that there has always been a passion for missions, salvation, and taking care of the poor and the widow and those in need. And man, that was definitely a part of our hearts as we got married, meeting at New Life Church. And then
2004,
we met in 2004. Yeah. And then got married at First Christian Church downtown, which is kind of crazy. We put that together a couple months ago. But then God called us to missions, and we took a 12 or 11 month missionary journey to 11 countries called the World Race. If you don't know about it, check it out. It is not like the Amazing Race. We didn't race each other. It's a race because you're moving quickly through countries. But we spent 3 months in Africa, 3 months in Southeast Asia, and then 3 months in Eastern Europe. And so the Lord strategically placed us in those places because he wanted us to learn from those countries and what he was doing in those countries and the specific expression of each, of his character in each country.
Yeah.
Because if you look at your friends, you know that each of them kind of carries like a little bend of the character of God. They just highlight compassion, or they highlight passion, or they highlight a love for his presence and for his people. And in the same way, as we traveled around, we started to recognize, wow, there's kind of a pattern here. This country is joy filled, and there's a lot of reasons for them to not have joy, and they're exploding with joy. And wow, this country has a fervor for the truth of God. And we just began to see a pattern of what God was doing in the nations, but it was also building something in us, because we got to take a little piece of that character back with us as we learned from the people that we worked alongside and we learned from the people that we served. So we came back to the United States.
Well, and just tagging off of that a little bit, something about us, early in our marriage, we knew we were called to serve in the church to some extent. We knew we were called to kind of ministry. And we didn't know specifically what that looked like. But one of the things that, as we were talking about this idea of the world race and this missions thing, is we just realized we had grown up in the church, and we'd grown up in this culture that was so saturated with religion. And there were so many structures and programs and things, but we wanted to know, where's God in all of this? In all of the chaos and all of the mess and the noise, where is God? And part of it for us as we went to these countries was to see, everybody adds their own pieces onto the gospel, right? There's the pure gospel, and then there's the pieces that we all kind of add to it because it makes us feel better, it helps us to be in control, whatever
comfort.
It might be. Yeah. In each of these countries, we could see, like, here's what they're adding on that's different than what we're adding on. But what ended up happening more than that was not looking at what people did wrong, but seeing where the kingdom stayed the same, where the move of God stayed the same, where the impact was consistent in all these different cultures. And we begin to see, like, this is reality, this is kingdom, this is spirit.
And this is culture.
This is culture. It's not it's not good or bad. It's sure. just not, but it's not kingdom. And so that really put in us this fire for what would it look like to see kingdom, pure kingdom, in our society here. That doesn't mean that we can ever get it perfect. And that's not the goal. The goal is not for us to get something perfect. But the goal was, how do we take what we've learned in these nations and bring that here to do something worthwhile? Like, we never needed to be the leaders. In fact, it was the last thing that we were ever looking for. We just wanted to bring what God had put inside of us and be able to instill that into the place that we were. Mm-hmm. So I'll let Kath share a little bit about when we came back. We found a friend of ours introduced us to a couple that had come out and that were planting another church. So while the Gethsemane is going on over here, in 2013, well, 2012, this church plant was beginning to take root called Keystone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was planted by Lonnie and Teresa Dyer. And they're really the reason why we kind of came together. They were the beginnings of that in a lot of ways. But yeah, so we started out in their living room. We started by having brunch, by loving one another and starting with community first. We had the worship part down. We needed to learn community. And so in that season, the Lord taught us a lot about community, a lot about friendships, a lot of what to do and what not to do in community. And it was a beautiful time of learning and growing. And then right around the beginning of 2019, we began to feel like an intense stirring. And what I mean by that is, think of ants in your pants, like an anthill's worth of ants, but in your spirit instead, all right? A lot of discomfort, a lot of stirring, and a lot of what is next.
It was like we're supposed to be doing something, but we didn't know what.
And so we just leaned in and said, Lord, what do you want to do? Are you calling us out somewhere else? Are you calling us to do something different? What is it that you're doing? And so in 2019, after, 6 months of seeking the Lord, yeah. Pastors Lonnie and Teresa approached us and said, the Lord has called us out and we're no longer supposed to pastor. What we're feeling is that we're either called to close Keystone Church or pass on the mantle to you.
And it was interesting at the time because as soon as they said it, I think both of our spirits were like, yes, that's what we were ready for. That's what God was preparing us for. But in the natural, our lives were so full as it was. Like, it didn't make sense that we would have this energy to give somewhere else. But it was almost like he increased our capacity. He didn't decrease, unfortunately, the amount of things that we were doing, but he increased our capacity to do more. And so when they shared that with us, I think we both felt like, yeah, this is where God has us going next.
Absolutely. And so that congregation and that community ebbed and flowed from about 70 people to back down to about 10 or 15 people about the time that we stepped in. And at that point, we were meeting on Saturday nights, seeking the Lord for what he was calling us to in this next chapter. And in that point, the Lord said, pull out of the church that you're renting space from and bring it into your living room.
Right? Exactly.
Now, good thing that I had a lot of practice being really uncomfortable on the world race, because it came to serve me very well with trying to scrub my house clean from four little children all week living in it to get it ready for Sunday morning.
If but some of the people that came could see our home just 2 hours before they showed up, I think they'd feel a lot of sympathy for us. No, it was great. We really enjoyed it. It wound up being really a sweet time.
It was.
And thankfully, it was perfect timing because COVID started
6 months later.
So, yeah, we wound up continuing to do church at home, and that worked out really, really well through that season.
And the Lord was so faithful because he confirmed his word to us when COVID came around. It was like, oh, while many congregations were shut down or trying to figure out streaming, we were sipping coffee together in our living room alongside our family. And it was such a beautiful place. It doesn't mean that it was like perfect. It certainly wasn't. There was an unfinished basement that the kids met in, and we prayed every week. I prayed earnestly every week that nobody would smack their head on the concrete. And the Lord was super faithful in that space. But one of the things that he really stirred up in that season was a passion for the presence of God in the prophetic and in worship. And we got to practice that at home in a small space. And yes, I have a big living room, but it's still the comfort of sitting, soaking, resting. It feels like home. And there was something really beautiful about that, that I feel like we've had to permission from the Lord to bring that into this space here at New Beginnings.
Yeah. Yeah. So that season lasted through COVID. And then in late 2021, I'm like, because I was going to say 2001. Time has passed. 2021. There was an interesting progression. And as I was going through all of my notes, because I track, I write notes about everything, I realized that a lot of what happened next that led into our merge with New Beginnings actually started with a dream that my son had. And September 23rd, 2021, he came and told me this dream that he had, and he said, "In the dream, I saw you walk upstairs or an escalator and go into a cool room and meet with Jesus. And you were talking to Jesus about things that were happening, and the devil was trying to get more people on his side, and I was helping Jesus." And so that's the dream that he shared. And it was so cool. And at the time, I was like, I have no idea what that means. But, you know, going up an escalator, you know, seems cool, like maybe promotion, or I don't know. So, you know, I write it down because I'm like, that seems clearly like a God dream to me. And then I pray into for a while, what does that actually mean? Well, what that started was the next three nights in a row, I had three dreams in a row. And I don't have a ton of dreams. I might get one or two a year, but this was dream, dream, dream. And they all seem connected and related to each other. And so I want to share two of them real quick because they lead into this whole story. But in the first dream, I was standing in front of a church building. And remember, we're meeting in our home, but I was in front of a building. And in the dream, we had merged with another church. And we had begun using their building. And in the dream, I'm standing in front of the building talking to somebody about how man, I don't know that we ever would have thought to connect with this church. And yet it's so perfect. It's such the right thing. And we were talking about our staff people and our leaders and like, how do we merge everybody and put them in the right place? And it was just this amazing dream about merging with another church. The next night, I had a second dream. In the second dream, I was in our backyard and it was nighttime. In the backyard, if you imagine that this is the backyard and this is the back of it and this is the front, there was a cinder block wall splitting the yard in half, and it was about that tall. It was a half wall. And then there was a cinder block wall along the back of the yard, again, about half height. And on top of that cinder block wall were apple trees. And it was just loaded with apple trees and fruit just falling from the trees. And I remember going out there with the kids and with Catherine, and we're looking at this, and I'm like, we're never buying apples again. Not in a bad way, but just we're so excited and excited to, like, we have so much that we actually have to go start finding people to give these away to, like our friends and our neighbors. And so what's interesting about that is it wasn't a week later, I'm going to come back to this dream, it wasn't a week later that I was on this Zoom call with the pastor from the Rock Church in Castle Rock. His name is Mike Polhemus. And he leads this gathering called the 400 of pastors all around the region. And this group meets weekly, and they pray for each other, and we're listening for what God is doing. And so we're really partnering with them. And in this meeting, I was on the call, and I just shared. I said, I had this dream about us merging with another church, and I shared about the Apple dream. And Mike goes, just a minute ago, Pastor Joel was sharing about his church and that they're looking for the possibility of new leadership and what that could look like. And he's like, you guys should meet. And so I think a week later, me and Joel sat down at Applebee's and connected and got to know each other. And you know, the story has expanded from there. We ended up merging. And what's incredible about this merge is there's so many opportunities for conflict. There's so many opportunities for hurt feelings. There's so many opportunities for division. And we just felt like supernaturally the Lord's grace was on this entire process. And when I go back to the second dream, the apple tree dream, isn't it interesting that the yard was divided in half? There were two different sides, but where the fruit was where they came together in the middle. It was designed to be one, but it was divided. But when it came together in the middle, that's where the fruit happened. And I really believe that that speaks to the merge that we have had with New Beginnings.
Also note that you met at Applebee's.
Oh, I didn't even think
of
that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And I love that because the other piece of the season that we were in our living room season, God began to just impart to us his heart for family. And not just like family with little kids running around, but family as in every generation represented, every generation honored, every generation has a voice. And we were praying for 2 years, very consistently.
Actually, it was four years.
Okay, 4 years. That's true. It was before our living room. Yeah. All right. It's a good thing he writes everything down. But for 4 years, we had consistently been praying that God would bring the sages. Now, that's my nice term of saying the elderly, the older generation, the sages. You've been through a lot. You know a lot. All right. But that God would bring the sages, the people who have been seasoned, the people who had faithfully served the Lord, the grandmas and grandpas who have walked with the Lord, and they need to be drawn on by the moms and dads and the kids coming up.
To have a whole family, we have to have all the generations.
Exactly. And so we were consistently praying and really not seeing it. We kept bringing in young people and young families, which made sense. But we were like, Lord, where are the sages? And when Pastor Joel called David, I was like, interesting. But we began to just say, God, if this is you and you're in it, we want what you want. And if you're not in it, close the door and we'll like, awesome. Great, great try. Sweet. You know, no, nothing lost. And the Lord continued as we began to have merge conversations that lasted 5 months.
Which really isn't that long. We had the dream in September. We were merged officially by February 6th, I think.
Right. But that was an intense season of faithfully seeking the Lord, both congregations really coming before the Lord, sussing us out, us going, all right, is this the right fit for our young families? How is this going to work? And we were clear time after time after time. It was like Gideon, you know, how he throws the wool out and he's like, well, if it's dry this time, then it's the Lord. And then he flips it and he's like, but if it's wet this time, it's the Lord. And I felt like we kind of, like, at both congregations kind of really just said, okay, well, what about this, Lord? Well, what about this? Well, what about the nuance of this? And time after time after time, there was unity. Mm-hmm. And time after time after time, there was confirmation that the Lord was in this. Yeah. And it was so beautiful.
Yeah. So that's kind of the background of where we've been. I wanna switch gears and dive into where we're headed. And so real quick, I didn't actually introduce. This is Catherine Ray, my wife. I'm David. If you haven't met us, that's who we are. And we do this together. This is a co-pastorship. She is every bit the leader, and in many ways much more that I am. And so I think that's important to state, because when we talk about how we do church and what I'm about to get into, it really is as family. And I think so often in the church, we have had fathers, but we have not had mothers. And politically, we'll talk about how important it is to have two parents in a family, but spiritually, we've actually done ourselves a disservice by not allowing powerful mothers to serve along powerful fathers as leadership. And so I want to make just, I think that's important to say that that's something that we look at differently than many other people. So,
is that all?
Yeah. Hand for Catherine. Thank you, baby. All right. So as we dive into where we're headed, Jesus had a vision. And when we look at scripture, there's several statements where he said, the Son of Man is here too, blank. And he very clearly stated, this is what my goal is on the earth. And he said, basically, compiling a couple of these, he said, to seek and save the lost is my vision. I'm here to give my life as a ransom for many, and here to destroy the works of the devil. Right? And there's more, but those are kind of some of the key ones that he says. And one of the things that Jesus says in John 5:19, he says, I speak to you the timeless truth. The Son is not able to do anything from himself or through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same works as his Father. So when we talk about Jesus coming, and he says one of the reasons that he came was to reveal the character of God, to reveal the nature of the Father. And so when he says he's coming, and he says, I only do what I see my Father doing, I do the same things that he's doing, he is communicating something very important about the nature and character of God. And I think something that defines us as a church is how we view the goodness of God. And when we look at how Jesus demonstrated what he did on the earth, sometimes there's this perception that God is mad and Jesus is standing in between us and God and he's blocking the wrath of God. Otherwise, God would just smite all of us off the planet. But Jesus is saying, no, I've come to reveal the nature of the Father. And so what I do is only what I see my Father doing, which means that we can't attribute the angry stuff to God and the nice mercy stuff to Jesus, because God's not divided. He's one. So when Jesus came and he's demonstrating mercy, he's demonstrating kindness, the only people that he demonstrated judgment toward were the ones that made it hard for people to connect with God, the religious people. He wasn't doing this to the people living in sin. And he's saying, that's what God's doing. That's what God's doing. In John 17:23, Jesus says, I want the world to know that you sent me, and that you loved them even as you love me. Jesus said, I want the world to know that you sent me and that you love them in the same way that you love me. And so off of this heartbeat that Jesus had, he gave the church a couple commissions. The first is one that we all know. I think it's very, very clear. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So we know that we're called to make disciples. So making disciples, it's more than just saying, let's have a nice little church club that meets once a week. It actually means there's interior change. There's things happening and growing. And I'm going to come back to that. But he says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Well, what did Jesus command them to do? He didn't actually have a whole lot of commandments for the disciples. He had a lot of teaching, but he didn't have very many commandments. But here's one of the most important commandments that he said. He tells them to go and to preach the message of the kingdom. And he says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And then he tells them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. That's the command that Jesus gave his disciples. And that's the command that we as a church have. There is an impetus on us to model what Jesus did in the same way that he modeled what his Father was doing. We as a church and as a body and as believers are actually called to model what Jesus has done. If we're called Christians, right, it means little Christs. It means that not just that I believe in him and I'll go to heaven someday and I'll be better when I'm dead in heaven.
but it actually means that I get to inherit the kingdom now, and I get to walk in what he's given me now, and I get to operate as if I was Jesus on earth because he is in me. If he is in me, then it's not just I'm saved and I get to go sit on my cloud when I die, but I am transformed. I'm a new creation. So when we talk about how we do church, it's very important that we know it's about an encounter with him. It's about connecting with his heart. It's about the transformation. It's not about performance. It's not about wearing the right clothes and going to the nice club and singing the right way and singing the right songs and teaching the right things. Like, listen, that's not what we're here for. We're not here to perform well. We're here to have an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ and to do that together, to do that in community. Because, listen, it's really great to be able to have encounters with the Lord on your own. And those are powerful and transformative. And honestly, I've been more changed by my personal encounters with God than anything else in my life. But there's something unique about his body coming together and say, we're going to have an encounter together. As a body, as a family. And what ends up happening is we have a common experience with him that begins to move us in a common direction with him. And the more that we do that, that's when we see things like what's happening in Asbury. How many guys have heard of the Asbury Revival? There's some awesome stuff happening. And listen, it's not because they did something special or God likes them more than he likes us. It's not because God thinks Kentucky's better than Colorado. All it is a group of people that come together and say, we want you more than we want normalcy. I want you more than I want what I'm familiar with. And that means sometimes being willing to look a little bit strange. It means being like, it means saying there's nothing more important. And when we come together and do that, listen, that thin place where heaven meets earth can be broken through anywhere. It's not limited to a location or a college or a campus or it can happen here. And honestly, guys, it's been happening here. The last several weeks, I don't know about you guys, but I've just sensed the presence of God in powerful ways, and we've seen him moving, and that's what we crave, right? Because if we just come here and we sing some nice songs and we hear some nice teachings, listen, that might make me feel good because y'all are like, David, you're such a good teacher, and oh, worship team's so amazing, but you know what? That doesn't actually accomplish anything. And honestly, if that was all we were doing, I wouldn't be here because that's not enough for me. I don't need to feel good. I want him. I don't need compliments on my messages. I don't need compliments on the worship. We want the presence of God to come. We want to connect with the heart of Jesus. We want to be changed because when I'm changed, my life changes. And when my life changes, the world around me is different. Poof, sorry, I'm preaching. Listen, there are different kinds of church, okay? I want to talk about the differences. There's factory church, fantasy church, and family church. Factory church is basically focused on creating a program, creating a conveyor belt, where if you look like this, then you are the right product. We've created the right product. And the more people that we can get to look this way, then we are successful. And so we have programs and we have things. And it's like, if you begin to look more like this, then you get promoted and you get elevated. And it's all of the stuff and the busyness. But guess what? People become a commodity. And when we look at the people who are coming to church, it's, hey, you're a great volunteer. Hey, you're a great... And it's like... It's not about inward transformation. It's about outward performance and perception. And so that's where we see churches that are sometimes growing huge. And listen, I want to be clear. I'm talking about a type of church. I will not speak negatively about any church. And I won't hear that because I believe that God can and does move through everybody. Even leaders that I disagree with their theology, guess what? I believe that he can still touch lives and save people and bless them through that. I'm not here to talk about why we're better than other people, okay? I want to be clear about that. But factory church as a concept and as a mode of ministry is not what God has called us to. The other is fantasy. Fantasy church is this idea of like, how many of you guys have ever played fantasy football? I'm awful at it, but But fantasy football, right? You get all these players and you pick them from these other teams. If you've never played, basically you can kind of rotate and you pick a team of players from all these other teams, and however well they do in their games, you get points on your little fantasy football team, and you're competing with other people that are in the group with you, and you're having all these games, right, every week, but you're not actually doing anything. Like, the teams that are on the field, they're actually winning points. They're winning field goals. Like, they're winning games. They're getting paid. We're sitting over here like, oh, yeah, look, I got points, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't actually accomplish anything. And in the same way, Fantasy Church can have a lot of activity, a lot of things that we're doing. But again, if there's not a heart for the presence of God, and there's not real life transformation, and we're not seeing him move the way that he's promised he would move, we have to ask ourselves, are we just living in a fantasy? Family Church has a different perspective. And we really look at Family Church as our model because it's what Jesus did. When Jesus led the disciples, it wasn't a program. He wasn't taking them through seminary school. He was living among them, his life open and shared, and their lives open and shared. And it was messy, and it was real, and it was about transformation. Many churches focus on a pastoral idea where it's the person up front, that's the head of the church, and they're the one that's in charge, and they're the one that it's all based around, and you better like my messages or you don't belong here. And you know, I think sometimes that model is something that we fall into by accident. I actually don't think that it's something often that's done intentionally. But if we switch that model, I want to look at what Jesus taught, which is an apostolic model. Apostolic model says the whole goal of the body of Christ and the goal of the leadership in a church is to train and send the people that actually do the works of ministry. I get the joy of being, listen, you don't need my teaching to be a successful believer. Like 1 John 2, he actually says, you don't need anybody to teach you. You have the anointing of the Spirit in you. So you don't need my teaching to be successful. But what I get to do is I get to be the exhorter and encourager in chief and say, this is what God's made us for. This is what he's planted inside. And then this body goes out and changes the city. When we look at Scripture and how God appointed leaders, the leadership is not, it's not designed to be the pyramid structure where you have the person at the top and everything else kind of serves the vision of the person at the top. We got to take that pyramid and flip it upside down. And the idea is the work of the ministry, the real work where things are changed and vision happens, happens in the body. And what happens at the bottom of the pyramid is the support structure that says, we're going to provide the place that you can grow into the person that God's made you to be to accomplish what he's designed you to do. Does that make sense? So when we look at our vision and mission, our mission as a church is to create a thriving family of believers who deeply experience the love and presence of God and partner with Jesus to bring the transforming power of his kingdom to the world. And we talk about bringing the transforming power of his kingdom to the world. I think another word for that is revival. Because we're talking about the presence of God coming and changing us and that transformation being expressed out to the world around us. That's revival. And that's what we're after. There's so much I want to get into, but I don't want to take forever. I'm going to list out some of our values and then I'm going to close this out here with kind of an exhortation of the next steps. We have 10 values as a church, and if you haven't had a chance to read them, I would just encourage you, go to the website and check that out, because it really describes who we are and why we are in some ways. But the first value is transforming presence. We believe the presence of Jesus is what transforms us. It's not good ideas that transform us. It's not good behavior that transforms us. It's the presence of Jesus. We believe in the inspired word. We believe the Bible is the key component to getting information about who God is and what he's like. We believe in joyful identity. The identity that Jesus has given us, that we have in Christ, it's one that causes us to feel joy. And if you're not happy about the identity that God has given you, then you might not have a full understanding of it. because we believe that Christians are called to be filled with joy. I don't believe in grumpy believers. And listen, we all get grumpy every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that. But as a whole, our heart as a community and our culture is that we want to be a people that loves being together, that loves God, that loves people around us, that isn't sitting around judging and grumpy and, oh, why can't this happen? Why did they do that song? Why didn't they? You know, let's just be joyful because it's what he's planted in us. We believe in healthy families. So not just as a family, as a church, but also individual families. Our goal is to help raise up. We don't want it to be like you come to church and look great and put on your Sunday clothes and make sure your kids sit up straight, and then you go home and things are a mess and difficult and broken. If we can't bring our mess here, where can we bring it? Healthy family starts with saying this is a place where you can express your mess, because we're not here to judge it. We're here to come alongside. We're here to support, uplift, and encourage, because we actually believe there is power in the gospel, and we actually believe that that power is expressed in community when we share our struggles with each other. I'm going to keep. We believe in intentional honor. Intentional honor says we're going to do our best to look at other people the way that God sees them. I'm not basing my view of other people based on what I see, my perception, but I'm going to try to see what God sees, and we're going to try to honor all people. We believe in supernatural faith. We believe in faith that says, again, despite what I see, I'm going to hold firm to the promises of God. I believe that he will do what he said he will do. We believe that miracles and signs and wonders are the hallmark of a believer. That's what Jesus said. He said, those who follow me will do these things and greater things than this. And so that's something that we are looking for. It doesn't mean we're looking for it to the exclusion of connecting with him or learning about him, but it means it is a piece of what we value as a community. We believe in fruitful generosity. God's a giver. We give just like our daddy gives. It's that easy. We believe in extravagant worship. We don't want to just come and sing a song. We want to give of ourselves to him. And in that process, you cannot outgive God. He will pour himself out on you. We believe in empowering freedom. We're not here to set rules and systems and guidelines that everybody needs to follow or else. We actually believe that Jesus set us free for freedom. If it's for freedom that we've been set free, listen, he didn't say it's for righteousness that you've been set free. He said it's for freedom that you've been set free. Just for the sake of freedom. Can you imagine that? God's so good, he's saying, just because I like freedom, just because I know you will like being unchained, it's for that sake of you being unchained that I have set you free. So we don't pursue righteousness because of chains and programs and rules. We pursue righteousness because I love making my daddy happy. And I know when I choose unrighteousness, it might hurt his heart, but he's still going to love me just the same, right? Last thing we believe in is advancing kingdom. We don't believe the world is getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and then the end will come. I don't agree. Anybody? It's not what I see in the Bible. Because it says about Jesus, of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. I don't think it's going to increase on the other side of eternity because it's already going to have the fullness, right? So the increase is now, which means that despite what I see happening in the world, listen, it's so easy to see the bad stuff that's happening in the world. It's all in our face all the time. But it takes discernment to see what God is doing in the world because he's not done and he is moving. And I would rather pay attention to his move than what I'm seeing on the news. Because I know no matter how hard the devil can hit, God hits harder. And of the increase of his government, that means his authority, his rulership, his kingdom, and his peace, there will be no end. Which means if I'm going to choose a world to be a part of, I can sit there and talk about the negative things, but that's not bringing peace anywhere. Or I could say I'm going to be a part of the increase and the advancement of his kingdom by choosing to focus on what he's doing. So that's a value for us. It doesn't mean we're ignorant of what's happening in the world. It just means it doesn't scare us. It didn't scare Jesus. He went and hung out in some of the worst places with some of the worst people. He was not afraid. And if we can say, I'm not afraid of what's happening over here, we're actually going to say, I'm going to take this advancement and this peace in his government. I'm going to bring the kingdom into this place over here. And that's the last piece I want to kind of close out with here as a church, as a vision of what we're called to do. I believe each and every one of you has been designed with a purpose in Jesus. You have a sphere of impact. You have influence, and it may be very small or it may be very large, but the influence that you have is not designed just for you. And I think sometimes we're so concerned with how I look and how I'm appearing. Listen, just this morning, I had to repent because I realized that there were portions of my life that I told the Holy Spirit, I don't need you here. Because I told him, I know what to do here. I know what I have to do to survive. I know what I have to do to get things done. I don't need you here. And the reality is, as a church, what would happen as a vision for who we could be as a body, if we said, Holy Spirit, there's no area that I don't want your guidance in, that I don't want your power in, because I don't want to live out of the impact that only I can make on my own. And that's the thing that we want to help empower and equip our church to do. This is a church that is about developing leaders who will develop leaders who develop leaders. It's not about developing a group that will serve me. It's not about saying, what's my vision? That's the one we need to serve. It's actually about saying, there's a vision God's planted in each and every one of you. And sometimes it might be a very modest vision, and sometimes it might be audacious, like change the world big. And regardless, we want to be the church that says, Holy Spirit has created a community and an environment here that will steward those visions and launch them. Which means it can't just be about me, and it can't just be about the next leader. Like we have a family that says the goal is empowerment, the goal is invasion of the culture. If Jesus sent out the apostles as sent ones to take the culture of the kingdom and bring it out, that's what we want to do. And it doesn't always mean that we have to be religious. Like, we can live our real lives in dependence on the Holy Spirit and connection with each other. That's what we're going after. So there's so much more I was supposed to say, and I got off track a couple times. Let me close with this. Our city, we start here. We start with the people in this room. We start with what we have here. But we have big dreams to impact and influence our city. This city is an incredible place. And it took me probably about 12 years to fall in love with our city. There was a long period of time where I was like, it's okay. It's dry. You can see for miles, not enough trees. And I was a little grumpy about Colorado Springs for a while, but man, I fell in love, especially the more I learned about our city. This city has a history. When it was planted, it had a history of being a place where people could come to get two things that I think are powerful. One is health. People who struggle with tuberculosis would come here because the altitude and the clean air would actually give them a new lease on life. And the way that they had to live in another place, here they were able to live free from that. And that's something I believe that translates spiritually. I actually believe that Colorado Springs is called to be a place of spiritual healing. Another thing that we were built as is a place of retreat and refreshment. Like, come rest in the hot springs, get rejuvenated, get restored, get new vision, and then go back to where you came from with that rest. And I believe that one of the things that we're called to be as a city is a place where people can come and get trained and get refilled and get the kingdom mentality and culture inside of them, and then go out into the nations and make changes there and make waves there. And so we have our vision of who we want to be as a church, but make no mistake, like right now, we are 1 year away from when we merged. And that year has been spent figuring out who we are together and going after the heart of Jesus. But in many ways, I feel like this year, 2023, it's kind of church plant year. Like, we have two older congregations that have come together as one. And now in many ways, we're entering growth mode again. And we're going back into the seed and we're saying, Lord, what do you want to do? And we believe that there's going to be growth and there's going to be change and there's going to be impact. But the mentality of where we're headed now is not just, hey, we're here, but it's actually, we're growing. We're replanting. Because God is doing something new. And that's something powerful about the name of this body. New beginnings. And in the new logo, you can see I've emphasized the new. Because that's what it is. He's new every day. He's new in us. He's new in this world. And as we engage together, this year is going to be a powerful, powerful year. And we are, let me just say for Catherine and me, that we are humbled and grateful to be a part of this community. There are powerful people in this room. And we don't take it lightly. We love, love, love to serve and bless the people in this room. And we have been so served and blessed by the people in this room. So we have great, great excitement over where God's taking us next.